Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and supported us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number three. If you missed any parts of the last hour, encourage you to pick it up. You can go to the website, go to Show Archives, and you'll get the link to our Cloud Hub, which is a great place to go and watch the broadcast if you miss the live broadcast that's up on ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and which is the TECN TV feed. You can get it at TECNTV.com as well. And then you can also go to listen, and you'll see the show archive of the audio there. The audio is also up, by the way, in Spreaker in the, again, show archives. But should you have TuneIn, iTunes, GeoSavan, Deezer, Spotify, there's a Podchaser, There's about 12 or 14 different ones that there's a link directly to. And then all you do is, if you're an iHeart listener, just add that station, add that page to your list. And every time the new shows pop up, it'll populate for you and you can listen to it. If you're TuneIn or iTunes or Spotify or whoever you prefer, it'll do the same thing. So encourage you to do that. All right, we got a big topic we got to cover. I want to get right to it here. I want to welcome to the program my good friend. He is the founder of Freedom Encounters, which is the deliverance ministry I've been involved with now for almost 20 years. And I've been sharing a little bit just because of the hour that we are in, addressing the issue of the evil that we are fighting today. And I ask Ken if we could focus today's program on arming the saints for the war that we are in. So I welcome Ken Thornburg, Freedom Encounters founder. Ken, welcome. Good to have you.
It's always great to be here with you, Greg. It's always an experience.
Well, there you go. Experiences are not underrated. Experiences and encounters are a big part of what walking this out is really all about. You know, I shared this morning on my program one of my, and I had actually kind of not thought about it for a bit, but one of my very first encounters with a demonically possessed person, and it was long before you and I connected. Well, it was a bit before, I would say probably about 4 years before you and I actually connected. But he came up to my office. I had an upstairs office when I had my company, and I had been sitting and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit said, "Get up and lock your door." Now, normally, my executive assistant who sat in the office downstairs, but there was a little pocket door that you could come in and bypass her. But normally people would go in and check in with her, and then she would buzz me or she would say, "Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead on up." In this instance, somebody was coming up. I didn't know that, but the Holy Spirit said, "Get up and lock your door." And so I got up. And I locked the door, and I turned around and started to go sit down. And no sooner had I literally just kind of touched down, than boom, 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 boom. Somebody shook the handle, and then there was a banging at the door. And I'm like, "Who is it?" And they didn't want to answer at first. And I'm like, "Who is it?" And then they told me who it was, and it was one of my employees. And I was like, "Well, you know, what do you want?" "I need to talk to you." "Okay." And the Holy Spirit said, they have come to kill you.
Wow.
And he told me how to open the door. And I was, you know, in decent shape. I mean, I was probably about 225, 230. Mm-hmm. And I was in pretty decent shape. And this guy was not a big guy. But the Holy Spirit said, "Use the door as a shield because he's going to lunge at you." And so I did. I stepped behind the door, and he did. He lunged, and he got caught by the door, and then I was able to push him back against the wall. And he had a key in his knuckle sticking out like this.
Yeah.
That he was gonna stab me with it. And I was able to, you know, kind of disarm. And then I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go sit down in that seat." And at first he was like, and I said, "No, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will sit." And he did. He walked over and he sat down. And then I said, "You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you into that chair." Cause I didn't know. I didn't have a bunch of training. And then I went and sat in my chair. But it was it turned out that he was a very ancient demon. At one point, he was pressed up against the wall. Well, I ended up calling somebody who was from a Pentecostal church that I knew would have some experience. And she was like, yeah, I saw him headed towards your office, and I knew it was going to be no good. She said, but I'm not prayed up, so sorry. Can't come up there. Not going to be a good scene. He'll need to call somebody else. And I called some pastors from the church that we were attending at the time. And when I hung up the phone, the guy said, oh, you called that pastor that smokes. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah. And so sure enough, and I didn't know anything about that. But when there were two pastors that showed up, and the one of them, he looked at him and he said, you got something to confess. And the pastor's like, what? And he says, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Now, he didn't know this fella. The guy didn't know him.
Got it.
But the demon did.
Yep, that's right.
And then at one point, that demon looked around my office, and I had an upstairs office, and at one end of the office, I had a conference table where I would have meetings with my management. And he looked around, and he said, yeah, this kind of reminds me of the upper room. And I'm like, what?
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, and he's like, yeah. And he said, and just, you know, you
so
can do.
Did the pastor ever admit smoking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he had to confess. Yeah. Straight up. He's like, yep, I do. I smoke. Yep. And yeah, oh, I'm telling you, man, it was something else. Ultimately, he ended up, you know, running out of the office, and I really don't remember seeing him after that, actually. Well, unfortunately,
if people want to see another example of that at the theater today, they need to go see the movie Nefarious.
Yep.
It's better than Notorious.
Yeah. Oh, that I watched. I stayed up late. I sent you the link.
Yeah.
But I stayed up late last night and I watched that and I thought, wow, if there's a movie out there that is a close depiction of the kinds of encounters that we have when we do deliverance, with this exception, folks. They don't get to have the kind of free reign that demon did, period.
No way.
Because because Jesus is sitting in the room like he is right now.
And he indwells us.
And he indwells in us.
He gives us the authority.
Yeah, and they only are allowed to do what he will allow them to do, and he doesn't allow them to show off.
So I need to know, is there a happy ending, or can you tell me?
With that guy?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no, brother. Unfortunately, okay. there wasn't. I had been trying to get him out of a bad life choices and decisions and what have you, and had started to try to get him involved in Bible study and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I don't recollect that we were completely able to get through. I mean, I went to court for him and went into the judge's chamber and vouched and basically said, I'll keep an eye on him. And the judge was kind of like, look, you know what? I appreciate that. And I'm going to, you know, kind of loosely say, yes, this is fine. And we're going to go with that. But and then he said privately to me, he said, I won't hold you wholly accountable for his behavior because we've been down this road with him a number of times and it just, you know, he doesn't seem to have the desire to change.
Yeah.
And I hadn't.
In the movie, does the movie have a happy ending?
No. Well, yes and no. I mean, I was disappointed that in the very end, in the interview that he does with Glenn Beck, that he doesn't mention that he said, "God save me." Because remember when he's in the room and he's holding the pistol, he says, "God save me, God save me, God save me," three times. And when he's talking to Glenn Beck, he said that the investigator found strike marks on the bullet three times.
Wow.
And it didn't fire. And so the demon comes on him, but then goes away. And then the very last scene, there's a woman in a dumpster, a homeless woman, and he walks up to her to give her some money to be kind to her. And then as he's walking away, the woman says his name, and it's nefarious that is now in that woman.
Interesting.
So, wow. Yeah. So it's you know, and
well,
the,
you know,
yeah.
this shares the and a very important scripture we've all heard, but oftentimes don't see the practicality of it, which would be there, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And seeing a film like that could cause a lot of people to be afraid. And it could also cause a lot of people to run to God, which I believe was the purpose of the movie.
Yep. Yep.
But not having someone, excuse me, in that film who could destroy nefarious in 1 second was probably not good. Because people needed to see a follower of Christ walking in faith and authority, just toasting nefarious, that spirit, with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Well, and the guy that was there, the guy who played this psychiatrist, was an atheist.
Yeah. And that,
And you got the impression from his conversation that he wasn't fully in faith, even though he had taken the book that the demon wanted put out and turned it so that it was more of a warning to people to say, hey, this stuff is real. And that was the other piece to this, Ken. And I think it is important to understand that demons are real. The demonic realm is real. And it's interesting because the guys who made that film also were Christian filmmakers. They did the film unplanned. They were involved in a couple of other Christian productions as well. But when they tried to make that one, 8 members of their crew were involved in car accidents during the filming of that. They had
they had all kinds.
Yeah, there was one of the main characters, Steve Deese, who wrote the book, actually came and ended up getting some kind of a weird lung virus and ended up in the hospital and almost died.
Correct. Yeah, the enemy doesn't want to be shown for who he is.
Yep.
And one of the things that we wanted to talk about is a response to the scripture. It's in John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, Jesus is speaking. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, I was raised in churches early on that said that the only way God can speak to you is through his word. You cannot hear the voice of God. That doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And they were adamant about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I was taught. In fact, I would guess that pretty heavy percentage of our listeners have been taught that. Some of them are still being taught that. And so when somebody approached me with that scripture, I wanted to argue, but it's really hard to argue, excuse me, when it's in the Bible, it's very clear, and Jesus Christ is the one who's quoted as saying it. It's really tough, and I'm like, man, what do I do with this?
Right. Yep.
And there are so many people. I've had clients that have never heard the voice of God until they came here. And it was the first time they've ever heard his voice. And they would say, well, I sense in my heart. No, they don't. They haven't been sensing in their heart. They actually heard the voice of God and didn't identify it
right
as the voice of God.
Right.
And so the only way they know how to say it is, I sense in my heart.
Well, because it is the churchly correct way to make the statement without somebody, you know, attacking you or trying to challenge you. On making a statement that I heard the Lord.
That's right. And it's the fact is that it's the demonic, either outside of a person and usually inside of a person, that says you cannot hear his voice.
Right.
Or they might actually say you should not be able to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's coming out from pulpits that tell people the only way you can get a message from God is in the Bible, period. Well, you know, it talks about using swords against the enemy. And if you've noticed, there are not very many wars today that are fought with swords. It's rather archaic, and it just doesn't happen that way. And guess what? It doesn't happen that way in spiritual warfare either.
Well, if I don't know
of any demons or angels using swords today, other than maybe symbolically. They use weapons that our military has never seen. So, you know, we have to know this. And when people hear a thought that starts with you can't, you're not good enough, you are a failure, you will never measure up, God doesn't love you. If they hear something, especially in the third person, I would bet those people my house. And I have a nice home. I would bet them my entire house that those voices speaking to them are from the enemy.
Yeah.
It is not their thoughts. And they need to understand that. They need to listen to these thoughts they have when they want to hear the voice of God. They need to ask him a question.
Right.
Well, Lord Jesus, what about this? And I need direction here, and I need to know that. And then listen, is it a voice that accuses? One other thing I just want to bring up to our listeners today, which is maybe one of the most important things, is that God never accuses us. And I want to underline, put it in italics, and make it bold. The word never. He never accuses us. What he might do instead is ask us a question. For example, did you really mean to speak to your husband or to your wife that way?
Mm-hmm.
He might ask a question. And when he asks a question like that, you already know the answer. And you're never going to say, yeah, I really did mean to speak to them that way and be cruel and judge them and nasty. No, it doesn't work that way. He might ask a question, but he never accuses us, ever.
Would it also be safe?
A voice that says you or one that accuses us, it is never the voice of God.
Would it also be safe because some, you know, again, with the going back to the very basic of, well, you know, I can't hear or I don't hear or, and I would just suggest that, you know, if there's a spirit that you're hearing a voice in your head, you have to differentiate and recognize that's not you. So who is it? And then, if it has spoken to you once, it can speak to you again. You can use 1 John 4 and get a confession out of it to say, what voice are you? Are you, can you confess Jesus Christ of Nazareth who came in the flesh, or can you not? If it can, then now you're tuned in. And again, you know, the word then goes on to say, if we acknowledge him in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. 100% he promises.
That's right. In fact, it might be good if the next time we do a show in a couple of weeks, we actually take people kind of through the process of testing the spirit that we hear speaking to us to make sure, because there are counterfeit God spirits.
Yep.
There are demons in people's bodies that try to mimic Holy Spirit, try to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ, even try to mimic God the Father.
Yeah.
And they aren't the real thing, but they can sound and look very much like him to a point of even fooling our spirit man. And that's why it's so important not to just buy everything that we hear. Like the girl that wants to marry a non-Christian boy and asks and, you know, hears a voice say, okay, I'm not, because that does violate the word of God. We might talk about that later.
Right? Amen. Amen. I think that'd be really good. I think, folks, I just want to leave you with this. There is demonic forces. They are real. You have, through Jesus Christ, been given authority to tread over them. If Amen. You want more information about that, reach out to freedomencounters.com, freedomencounters.com. They'll get back with you. Or shoot me an email, and I'll make connection with you at pastorgreg@chosengenerationradio.com, pastorgreg@chosengenerationradio.com. Ken, thanks for being here. I greatly appreciate it, brother. All right. Matt Long joins me coming up on the other side. I'll be right back right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at chosengenerationradio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits, everything filtered through biblical glasses, and I'm very excited to be welcoming Hill Country Patriot Radio, the Matt Long Show. Matt, are you there, my friend?
I am, absolutely, and we got your little intro here on this end, too, so everybody's happy and ready to go.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to join Hill Country Patriot Radio, the Matt Long Show, here on the Chosen Generation Radio Show, and our network that's broadcast, well, all over the place. Well, my good friend, so we talked, we had one of our chats last night, and we talked about the presidential race, right? We want to talk about
the primaries.
Yeah.
I was just telling my listeners that, you know, some of them out there may not realize that the primaries have all been begun. What do you think? This is going to be the longest presidential race I think we've ever had. It seems like it almost started on January 21st of last year, but this is where we're at.
Yeah. And in some respects, you know, I think some of the jockeying for position actually probably started, about 3 or 4 months at, well, with all of the concerns about election integrity, right? You know, in a manner of speaking, for a lot of folks, this whole, you know, tyrannical regime and the tyrannical behavior, the kicking down of doors because you wanted to pray with someone in front of an abortion clinic 10 years ago or because, you know, you showed up. Matter of fact, I was looking last night and I shared it as a reel. You have a guy standing, a reporter standing in front of burning buildings behind him. Talking about, oh, we, you know, well, we're down here and, you know, everything's peaceful, you know, maybe a little fire or something, you know, and then it flashes to every, you know, the people at the Capitol who were, you know, praying on the grounds and so on. And, oh, this is, you know, this is an insurrection. This is, you know, it's wow. And so I think for a lot of people, you know, it was like, no, we're already moving on to, we need to get our guy back in the White House, period.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. And so we've been looking at all the, you know, I don't think it surprised anybody that Trump came out with his 50% right off the, right off the bat. I mean, he had half the Republicans right off the back, and I don't think that surprised anybody. There are a couple of things I have been surprised by so far. I expected Governor DeSantis to have a whole lot more, I don't know, momentum is the right word. And, of course, we're still early. People will point back to elections, presidential elections recently and in the past where you go out, well, let's see, what we're out, 15 months, 16 months from the election. And that the things, I think it's 16 months at the election, I think Trump was at 1% at this point for whenever, I can't even keep track of the time.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
So I'm believing that I don't think that trend is going to continue. I think Trump's going to stay on the top. I don't think anybody with 1% is going to come up. I'm shocked at, well, I do have one, but I'll save it. But I am shocked at DeSantis that he has just not made more. Talk to me about DeSantis in Florida, because we did talk about that at length yesterday.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what concerns me, and this isn't about, you know, endorsing one way or the other anybody in this process.
Right.
You know, Ron DeSantis, and I actually did two interviews with some individuals from the Institute, the Independent Institute, on my program, which is a conservative think tank, more or less. And one of them was saying that they believe that Ron DeSantis's choice to go after Disney was political suicide and it'd be the end of him. The president of the organization was like, no, it's not, because he is fulfilling the will of the people of Florida. The sad news is that Florida has been a target for a long time, and is becoming more and more purple in many respects. And my greatest concern, I don't necessarily believe that Ron DeSantis can win the White House. Others may disagree with me, and that's cool. My greatest concern is that if the primaries become too bloody, and if DeSantis is too severely wounded, we lose Florida, because we lose Florida as it relates to a governorship in Florida, that Florida would swing. And the reason I say that is, number one, I mean, DeSantis won by quite a bit, but the challenger to DeSantis gained a lot of momentum. It's really similar in a manner of speaking to what has happened here in Texas, right? I mean, who expected Beto O'Rourke to get as close as he did to Ted Cruz?
Oh no. I was going, my prediction to you folks, you can go back and replay these. I said, there is no way that Beto comes within 15 points of Ted Cruz. I just said, there's no way. It's a runaway. And man, was I shocked.
Yep. And I, you know, when you look at the amount of money the Democrats poured in, you know, they created the mechanisms by which they are slowly gobbling up territory in the state legislature and in the Senate. And they did that with abortion Barbie, you know, with Wendy.
That's when we first met.
Yep. And I think they've done the same thing relative to DeSantis in Florida. And my concern is that not, you know, I think President Trump is wise enough to know he doesn't want to wound DeSantis to the point that he can't hold on to Florida. Unfortunately, there are people around the president that I don't think are seeing that, and if they go after him and I think that's part of the reason why the momentum is what it is. You know, I mean, every single candidate including the one that I know you like that we talked about, went after DeSantis regarding and took up kind of the Disney business position regarding him stripping Disney of its tax benefit in Florida. Every single one. And my argument is okay, now I have to question, where's the principled moral barometer? Because what Disney said is that your four-year-old needs to know how to have a teacher shove their fist up their rear end.
Right.
That needs to be needs to be clearly delineated, and four-year-olds need to be taught this. And DeSantis said, wait, 4 to 9-year-olds don't need to hear that stuff. They don't need to hear that stuff. And and so nobody else was willing to take, you know, it's like lip service. It's like, well, yeah, we'll take that stand as long as. And what's worse is that not only did Disney come out and say, we are politically going to get involved to overturn this, but in a Zoom call, it's recorded that their executives came out and said, we're grooming your kids. We are grooming your kids. And, you know, we're libertarians, so everybody gets to do what they want to do. No, you don't get to groom my kid. You don't get to groom my grandkid, okay? Don't screw with my kids. I'll beat your ass.
That's right. We will. Moms for Liberty, they got that same attitude, but I don't think they've ever threatened to beat anybody's butt. So let's switch over. Let's go to.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a daddy bear. Okay,
and that's there you go. Daddy bears are kicking ass.
That's
right. So here we go. So I watched a I lose track of
time. I'm sorry,
Greg, but it was recently, last Friday. I think it was last Friday. No, it was Friday before that. But Tucker Carlson had an all-day event where he sat down with all of the candidates that are seriously in the race for our Republican vote, sort of Republican vote. He had them all come in, and rather than have them all up on a debate stage yelling at each other and asking the same lame questions, he brought them in one day, one candidate at a time, and sat down with them and spent time with them. And he didn't ask the same questions of every one of them. He asked questions that pertained individually to each one, to their character and what they'd been fighting for or standing for. He just did an outstanding job. And I'd like to say that I think this is the way we need to move forward with our candidate forums, as opposed to getting them all up on the stage at once. But here's who I was impressed with, and it wasn't the first time I was impressed with him, but that was Vivek Ramaswamy. I think that Ramaswamy is going to rise up into the ranks and end up in second place, and my prediction is that Ramaswamy will be the running mate for Donald Trump. All right, so your turn.
Well, I can tell you one person that doesn't agree with that format very well, and that's that's Mike Pence, who apparently decided that America's interests at home are not his concern. I mean, what a foobar that was! Holy Toledo! That was bad. You know, Vivek's grassroots leader, Kathy Burnett, was on my program. I like Kathy a lot, and I think, you know, that she's doing an incredible job of getting him. And as you mentioned, he's connecting with youth. The other one that I think we should watch is Tim Scott. I think Tim Scott has been very consistent. And I hear in the back of my head that, you know, that there have been some traffic about, you know, is he, you know, a real strong conservative? Does he have some rhino leanings? I can't answer that. You know, I think that at the end of the day, and this is where I leave off on this whole presidential situation. I think that President Trump is the likely choice. I think that the more lawsuits they throw at him, the more he becomes that choice, more because it's a rebellion. It's not a rebellion. It is a it's a revolutionary vote. It's a vote that says, hey, we don't this tyrannical stuff has to stop, and we're going to stand with the guy who's taken the brunt of it, and we're not going to abandon him. We're going to stick with him.
Right. Yep.
I think that President Trump has got to do a lot of house cleaning around him.
Amen.
He had some bad counsel. Peter Navarro wrote a book about it. It's interesting because they've tried to bury Navarro's book, but Navarro wrote, and Navarro was with him the whole time. And it's interesting to note, too, I haven't seen Navarro's name come up this time around, which is sad to me. I just haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on with him. But he was with Trump the whole 4 years. And he wrote a book where he came out and he pointed fingers and he named names and he said, there's problems in your inner circle and you got to clean house or you won't get done what you need to get done. That's number one. Number two, he's a four-year president. And more than likely, he'll have 2 years to get anything done because at midterms, things are going to flip again. They always do. And that means he's got 2 years to get things done. He'll have 2 years of being stymied. And so if he doesn't set things up for the next 8 years, we're dead.
Okay. I'm following you. So what is I just lost track of what I was. The question I had an awesome question for you,
man.
Pastor Greg. So you know what I would like for us to talk about in the future because it just crossed my mind, and that is, we need to talk about Trump worship at some time. I've been hearing some people talk about that recently, and I think they're making some really good points about Trump worship. But do you think any of these lawsuits where, you know, it seemed to be scheduling these perfect, what are the chances do you think of him getting the nomination and then actually legally between March and November having been turned into a felon? Do you think there's even a shot at that, or do you think they're just blowing smoke in the wind?
I've had several attorneys that have come onto my program. They argue different positions. I had one attorney, a conservative guy out of San Francisco, longtime, attorney on defense and prosecution, both sides of the fence. He sat on John O'Connor. He looked at, the initial lawsuit or the initial indictments and was like, this is all, it's all nonsense, all of it, except for two charges. And that is the obstruction charges down in Florida. Okay. Those are the only ones that he felt had any meat on the bone. Now, I'm hearing, and I'm going to talk to my attorney guy tomorrow about this, that the Jack Smith stuff may have some issues associated with it. But let's be clear. Just because he's convicted of a crime, under the articles of being able to run for president, he can still run. He can still
run with a felony. He can run.
I believe that's correct. Double check, but I believe that he can still run and hold office even if he's been convicted of a felony. Now, the problem would be, if that felony also led to them demanding incarceration. My concern where that comes in is what does the country do if they attempted to take him into custody?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that goes. And that maybe goes to your question about, about Trump worship. Where's the damn break? I mean, look, you heard me earlier, about kids. I have waved the banner and screamed from everywhere I could do about the danger of the LGBTQ agenda and what it was going to do and what was going to happen based on what was happening in Massachusetts nearly 20 years ago, by the way. This isn't new. And everybody said to me, if you keep talking about that topic, we're not going to come to your meetings. Well,
wow.
Guess what, folks? Guess what? Okay? Now we're here. Now we're here. Now it is as real as it gets. We had a chance to stop this 10 years ago, and nobody wanted to listen.
Right. I'm at Article 2. Yep. I'm at Article 2 of the Constitution. Article 2. Article 1, of course, is the House.
Right.
Is the legislature. Article 2 is the executive, and Article 3 is the judicial. Article 2, Section 1, the only requirements of a you've got to be a natural-born citizen.
Yep.
And C-section does count. And a citizen of the United States, and shall be eligible. Neither, who is not 35 years old.
Yep.
You got to be 35 and had 14 years a resident with the United States. And so that little corner of my head that had the felony bit in there, that's not in the Constitution.
It's not. That's what I thought. I didn't think it was. Yeah. I didn't think that there was anything in the Constitution that said. And that was something commentators were saying, that, you know, not only is he the first, you know, former sitting president that's been indicted, but he could be the first former sitting president with a felony that ends up becoming the president.
Wow. Yep. There you go. That's right. So that's where we're at, Pastor Greg. We're way past time.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I really enjoy. I had a great visit last night. And by the way, Gail's mother is doing much better
today. The prayer.
Kind of
answered
the prayer. Us all. We prayed hard yesterday.
Yes, we
My
did.
Mother-in-law had a heart attack. We prayed hard. And before you know it, she's back in her room, all chipper, and everything's just fine. So we can't figure this out. At 98 years old, she's pretty excited to go get back with her husband and to get into inner paradise. And God's still got a plan for her down here. So anyway,
hallelujah.
We will talk next week again, Pastor Greg, and thank you again for Tuesdays. We really enjoy it.
Hey, love you, brother. Love you, Hill Country. Love you so much. God bless you all. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. There you go.
All right, folks. I will be back. You know, and again, I just want to make sure. Look, you know, we say something's going to happen, and then it happens, and I told you so to a degree. I'm not the only one. Peter LaBarbera was talking about this. There have been a number of people that were out there that were saying, hey, this is going to be a problem. The LGBTQ issue is going to be a problem. Man, we fought this. This is what we fought out in California with Prop 8, the Marriage Act, trying to make sure that marriage was knocked off, that sodomite marriage was not the law, that we had a constitutional amendment, that this was why we fought this battle. Because as soon as you legalize these deviant behaviors, as soon as you legalize them, now you got to teach them. Now you have to teach them. There's no longer a choice. You have to teach them. And, you know, I was telling somebody about this, and I guess I'm just going to go ahead and say it. But this is why I addressed the issue on The Blaze with Glenn. And, you know, I don't know if he'll ever see it or hear it or listen to it or whatever. But the libertarian side would say, well, we got to give everybody a voice. You know what? Here's the deal. You can have a voice, but I'm not going to give you or provide you a network where your voice is attached to completely immoral act. The Blaze right now hosts someone who is an open sodomite and an open supporter of abortion, and now they have adopted babies and brought babies into the sodomite home. Robert Oscar Lopez wrote about My Two Moms and was blasted. In fact, he was run out of a Southern Baptist university because they told him that he needed to stop talking about this topic, about the homosexual agenda, about the damage that it does. Being raised in a home with two moms, he got into the homosexual lifestyle because of that influence. He got free from it. He's married now and all of that. But folks, children should not be in that environment, period. And yet you had all of these libertarian commentators, including Dennis Prager, clapping their hands. Yay, what a great, oh, that's so exciting. Exciting that children are introduced into a sodomite home. No, not exciting, not good. And inappropriate. Look, it's not hate when you're saying to someone, you know what? Here's what the Word of God has to say. There's a heaven and there's a hell. I believe the only way to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And Paul writes, grace is not a license to sin. And he's very specific about sexual immorality and the damage that it does to the body, to the mind, to the spirit. Devastating. And so to tell someone that, hey, you know what? Love is to continue to affirm a lifestyle that is leading to death is not love. To love a drug addict is to take the drugs away and help them get clean. To love an alcoholic is to take the alcohol away and help them get clean. Sexual immorality is the same way. To love them is to help them and affirm for them and get them free of that immorality. Not affirm it, and not create a platform that gives them the ability to have it affirmed. There's no sense to that whatsoever. And as conservatives, I'm telling you right now, if we don't get this foundation straightened out, if we keep giving entry and entrance to the demonic, because believe me, the demonic love sexual immorality, because through the deviant act, they enter in. It's a pathway to enter in. You want to talk about demonic possession and a means for demons to possess? Oh, man. We must take a stand. We must take a stand. All right, part of my audience is going to hear at the end of the day, part of my audience is leaving to go and listen to a great, great program that is entitled Texas Fully Loaded. And I'm just, there we go. I had to find the, there we go. Texas Fully Loaded coming up on TECN-TV right now. And for those of you that are on social media, I'm gonna just give you at the end of the day, and as well as on the audio, just to close things out. God bless you. I love you. I'm telling you these things because I love you. I'm not chastising you. I'm telling you, well, maybe I am. I'm telling you because I love you. And for somebody that is listening today that is trapped in one of these sins and feels like I can't get free, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth who came in the flesh, say this with me right now. Put your hands on your head and say this with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I repent of my sin, and I ask the fire of God to burn in me and around me and destroy all remnants of darkness and all demonic influence. Angels, cast it all into the abyss. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Amen. At the end of the day, God's got you. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his rest.